This conference is being recorded.
Satnam, and welcome everybody. Oh, we're still getting an echo. Okay, if anybody has a guard stick, try that so we can get a clear channel into the infinite, into the unknown, making the unknown known, and the known unknown. And that would be a great thing, having some of the known things be unknown. In other words, releasing ourselves from the imprints of the past, which is what's available right now. So with the Tantra transmissions of the Master, he's saying he's always working on releasing us from our past limitations. And this is an especially good time to give up all limiting habits, like the habit of thinking that we're not divine, and to take on the habit. He said there was a reason that originally, I'm getting lots of echo. Originally, when they had, convents, monasteries, and ashrams, and people dressed a certain way, the reason they called it the way people dressed habits is to remind people to relate to their divine self. And later, those garments became repressive, but it wasn't originally meant to be that way. It was meant to remind people of their divine self. Wow, this echo is interesting. I was going to say annoying. It's interestingly annoying. I've got two of me.
Glory.
Okay. Yeah, should I dial back in?
No, maybe you can unmute us from your part, see if that works.
Okay, let's see if I can mute you. Okay. Walk back to my phone here.
Oh, now we're silent. Okay. I think we have to call back in. Hello?
Okay, you couldn't hear me, right?
No.
Okay. It muted me. It didn't mute everybody else out. I don't know what the command for that is. I'm thinking that I will dial back in. So Arit, maybe you could hold forth and talk to everybody a minute while I redial. Would that be good?
Yes.
Okay. I'll call back in. Hang on.
Okay. I'm going to remute. Well, I guess it was a bad idea to go to the Grand Canyon today.
So wait a minute. So she's still echoing, even though she's not online.
That's true.
So, and we all have to hang up and call back again.
All right. Here we go, Lynette.
Okay,
you're going to call back in?
Okay, everybody, can you hear me now? Hello? Okay, maybe you're all
okay,
muted.
I'm back.
Okay. Everybody.
Sounds better.
Okay.
Hey, it is better.
Got it. Okay.
No echo.
So that's better.
No echo.
Okay, good. Thank you, everybody. Everybody hung up and dialed back in. Thank you. Okay. Good. Okay, great. I think we got it. A bunch of people. Okay, everybody's coming back online. Yay! Oh my gosh, that's so much better.
It is.
Yay! Good. All right, we got it. Okay, so today is 9/11, and 11 is a master number, and we were reminded by our master, to chant a call for those people that have basically given their lives for people that would take our freedom away. So as we move into the experience of the quantum field of the divine, which is the field of co-creation, remembering our power, that what we're doing is we're running into resistance with those that have been had power over for thousands of years, basically. And so every time we breathe and we take our power and we claim our divine right as co-creators and notice what we think shows up around us, then we run into the field of resistance that still exists in 3D. But with each time that we claim our in our minds, in our fields, in our energy, and we claim the oneness of the fourth dimension and the experience of watching the play of Leela, the divine play, we're breaking up 3D and we're breaking up these lower frequencies. So the fight may seem to be intensified sometimes, but what I have it on the best authority that the light is winning, and we're just at the beginning of seeing the light breaking through. So the polarity shift on the planet, when they talk about the pole reversal that you may probably have heard a lot about, that the poles on the planet Earth herself will reverse. The reversal is actually from 3D to 4D because it is the polar opposite. 3D and 4D, it's not like taking a step up on a ladder. It is a reversal of frequency. It's a frequency reversal. And actually, 4D cancels out 3D. So those beings that can only see through the eyes of 3D are actually being literally canceled out. So there are lots of things happening kind of behind the scenes to cancel out 3D so that 4D will become our reality, meaning that experience of oneness, experience of the light, experience of the heart chakra, so that the earth as a divine place, the earth as a divine being, and us as divine beings will be literally brought back onto the planet Earth. And what we're doing is we're reinstating planet Earth as a place where we can pursue our lives as spiritual beings having a human experience, as we've heard that term, rather than human beings whose light is being controlled by other lower frequency beings that have not yet evolved to the level of recognizing who they really are. And there's lots of theories that those beings will be sent to another place or another planet or another dimension. And I don't know. I just know what we're being shown and we're being told. So today on 9/11, we will remember at the end of the call to chant a call for all those that have given their life for freedom and to know that they have been elevated. They have been elevated and they are with Ascended Masters learning how to hold the frequency through the looking glass on the other side of the veil, even though they're not still in physical form. So this is an important day for us to concentrate and correlate and collect our frequencies and bring them together to further enhance this field, the sacred field, so we can feel the strength of that and the power of it and break through the lies that being spiritual or being of the light is something that's airy-fairy or not grounded or not connected, or that if you're a light worker, you can be taken advantage of or pushed around. So all those things we are going to release, all those patterns are going to be we're going to break up those patterns with the Akals. So with our Tantra transmissions from the Master, this is a big day to break up patterns. So that's the power of the positive, to break up things we no longer need and stay connected to the beauty of being in physical form. And today we have the moon in Cancer, and later it's going to move into Leo. And so it's squaring Saturn in Libra. So what this means is, since Libra is the balance and also has to do with relationships, balanced relationships, and Saturn, of course, is an earth sign that's trying to get us to be connected to how we're affecting the physical. And with this Cancer being this feeling sign, we can feel how we're affecting each other, how we're affecting the earth, and how we're being affected. So just feeling into that, whatever situation you're in, and in your mind, in your energy field, breathing into intentionally restoring the balance of, so that when we're interacting, whether it's with the earth, whether it's with other people, that those interactions are coming into balance, into harmony, into divine integrity. So there's not big swings in basically things like a small group of people controlling a large amount of the resources on the planet and things like that. So we're being asked at this time to, with our intention, with our frequency, to restore the balance of nature, the balance of harmony on the planet today in creative ways as the moon moves into Leo. And what it's doing is it's actually aspecting the north node of the moon in Scorpio with the sun in Virgo. So what does that mean? It means that we're going into the depths of, we're going to explore the depths of feelings and the depths of how things have been used destructively, how things have been destroyed. So we've got this 9/11 energy going on, which people were using to destroy. And so now we're reclaiming that power, and with the sun in Virgo, we're saying we're going to shine the light on how to be the priest and priestess on the planet at this time, how to move back into sacred, how to protect rather than destroy. So that's really what this period of time is about. So then we're later, tomorrow, we're having this Leo moon connecting with Venus and squaring Mars. So we're moving into, rebalancing the divine masculine and the divine feminine. So we're not experiencing power over the patriarchy or the abuse of power, however that's shown up. So this is the time to really, as an example, practice alternate nostril breathing in your practice and to really feel the power of both the divine masculine and the divine feminine and what that feel into with that moon in Cancer. How we can feel into the divine working together. And again, to recalibrate to the fact that being divine doesn't mean being out of the body, because there's the patterning or programming that to be spiritual, you have to leave your body and get to heaven and all these things, and it's an unconscious pattern. So to feel the divinity of the divine masculine and the divine feminine in the body and the power and the strength of that, and to walk forward looking through those eyes with that awareness, that's what we're really working with at this time, in this time period. We are working with reinstating the divine earth, looking at the earth as divine, and moving into the second Uranus-Pluto square, which is coming up September 19th, we are working with the quantum field, being aware that the observer, how we observe reality, changes reality. So we want to look through the eyes of the divine masculine and the divine feminine at the world. So at any situation that comes into our awareness, the request is to say, okay, ask a question. If I'm looking through the eyes of the divine, how does this situation look? And then just even in your mind to correct that situation from that point of view. So this is what we're practicing during this completion of the ninth wave of the Mayan calendar. And what's happening during this period of time, during this pole shift, we're coming right now to a still point. And that still point is when 3D and 4D are actually confronting each other, and then we flip to more of the sense of light. But right now, so if things feel a little bit eerie or unsettled, or you're waiting for something like Lucia is, but we're all kind of waiting for different things. I have things in my mind I'm waiting for completion on. It's almost the feeling of being suspended, almost like this feeling of suspense and of the timeline being suspended, because that's what's happening right now. The 3D timeline is actually being suspended so that we can move into the quantum field of 4D, that of unity consciousness, and beyond. So if anything feels very sort of unsettling, or if fears come up, that's because at this time we're at what's called the still point between realities. We're shifting realities, and then 4D is going to start to emerge as the dominant reality, but right now we're still moving out of 3D, out of duality, out of having the predominant thought form on the planet, the predominant belief system of the collective consciousness, believing that what they see is what they get. So that's what's been controlling, used to control all the energies on the planet. So we're at that still point where that is going to be broken up. So to move beyond what you see is what you get into reclaiming our power and going into our sense of co-creators, the first step on this Uranus-Pluto conjunction that we've been talking about, these seven squares happening between 2012 and 2015, the second square, the first step of working with that energy is true humility. In other words, not humbling yourself like powerlessness, but just feeling the presence and feeling being part of the sacred divine presence. And that's the type of humility where it feels so connected and so good, and we're so in gratitude to be part of that, that space of sacredness opens us up to the experience of enlightenment or living in the light. So that experience of gratitude opens us up to that whole quantum field, that whole dimension. And then understanding that as we move into the quantum field and of this dimension that we're starting to move into more collectively, is that everything that we do and connect with and create as co-creators out of that quantum field, that quantum light field, does alter the world in a very significant way. So we also have the opportunity here to give up those feelings of powerlessness and loss and all those things. So all this is coming up at this time. I had kind of an interesting experience the other day on Friday, where I was just going through my list of everything, of have-tos, of everything that I had to do. And then I was just sitting in the house by myself thinking, well, what do I really want to do? And so what I thought, well, I'd really like to do a reading for someone, talk to a new client, and I was also feeling that I would like to have an opportunity to swim in warm ocean water, because I swam the other day here where I live, and the water had gotten much colder, and it's generally colder here where I live than other places, and there was lots of seaweed. It was still refreshing, and it was great to be in the water of the mother, but it really wasn't it really wasn't a wonderful experience. So about that time, as I was sitting here just sort of going in my mind, what would I really like to do, the phone rang, and there was a person who was trying to get in touch with me for his wife, who wanted a reading with me. And this man said that his wife's email had been bouncing back. I don't know why, but so I ended up and being able to share a session, a reading with a couple that actually they live in El Salvador, and I didn't even know it, but it's right. They live right near very warm blue water, and she runs a wellness center, and it ended up being a very beautiful connection, and they invited me to come down and visit, and you know, so we'll see what happens with all that. But it was really, really wonderful, and so there's an example of just accessing the quantum field, and I'm sure everybody does this a lot every day, everybody on this call. But that was just a fun example for me of, okay, this field is getting closer and more palpable and more real. And it's good to affirm and even journal when you're able to work with this field, and then you can start noticing your states of mind and your states of being, and then work with the field in even bigger ways and extend your influence over the planet more and more. So this is what we're moving into with this Pluto-Uranus conjunction. We're noticing that what we create alters the world in significant ways. What we create, what you create, alters the world in significant ways. So recognizing your ability to affect the world with the power of good, the power of your intention, the power of seeing the world through the eyes of the divine, and being the eyes of the divine, and being the eyes for the divine. So that's what I hear. Yogi Bhajan, so funny. Being the world for the eyes of the divine, because that's what we are. We're here to see the world with and for the eyes of the divine. And I was inspired to share a beautiful mythological story of the god Shiva, who was sitting meditating in deep meditation in the mountains, in the Himalaya mountains in India, a long time ago. And this is a very fun story, so I'm going to share it with you now. So here's the story. The story is that Shiva sat meditating in the Himalayan mountains long ago, and through his meditation, he held the field together. We've been talking about the quantum field, and that the field, the etheric field that holds the world together, is actually the field of compassion. So Shiva was sitting in meditation for many thousands of years, holding the field of compassion together for the entire world. But while Shiva was meditating in deep, lost in meditation, and thinking of nothing else except his very important job that he was doing, a demon had somehow acquired the power to defeat every enemy on the whole planet except the son of Shiva. And so this made this demon invincible. So Shiva, being the supreme yogi that he was, had no intention of ever fathering children. So the son of Shiva that could be born to defeat this demon who was destroying the whole planet, there was no hope of this ever happening. Well, since it looked like the whole earth and maybe the whole universe could even be destroyed by this demon that had gained all these powers, the fate of the universe was definitely in jeopardy. And so what happened was the gods decided to send Parvati, who was a beautiful, beautiful, voluptuous, young, embodied goddess, to seduce Shiva and hopefully to produce a divine son to conquer this demon. So Parvati tried every seductive power of the beautiful goddess that she could think of. She he put on beautiful belly dancing costumes of beautiful colors, and she danced for Shiva, and she tried everything. She flirted with him. She rolled her eyes. She moved her hips. She did every kind of wonderful thing possible to arouse Shiva from his meditation. However, nothing worked. Finally, Kama, the god of lust, even attacked Shiva with a powerful flower arrow, and this flower arrow hit one of Shiva's three eyes, and Shiva's third eye fluttered open just for a second, and Parvati hoped that, oh my gosh, she would finally catch a glimpse of her beauty and be seduced by her. But uh-oh, what she saw was Shiva blasted Kama and turned him to ashes with one angry glance from his third eye. Oh my gosh, he was so unhappy to be disturbed from his meditation. So he immediately went back to his deep meditation, communing with the whole universe, worlds upon worlds. And oh no, what could Parvati do? She couldn't go back home because that would be showing that she had failed in her mission, that she had failed the very gods themselves who had sent her on a mission. So she was totally discouraged and even disgusted. And so she just decided to give up her connection with all affairs of the world and all affairs in the 3D world. And she then and there decided to renounce the world. So Parvati herself covered herself with ashes, went to her own cave in the mountains, and decided to sit down and meditate. And years passed, and she didn't stir at all. She was determined that she was going to move into total merger and complete liberation with the divine. But what happened was Shiva, who was deep in his meditation, oh my gosh, he started feeling and sensing a sense of, oh, powerful, powerful Shakti, powerful divine feminine deep in his meditation. This divine energy wafted into him, more powerful and sublime than anything he'd ever experienced before in all of his years of renunciation and meditation. And oh my gosh, to his shock, he realized that it was a growing field of consciousness, the quantum field, the fourth dimension and beyond, that we're working with. And it was so perfect, and it was so divine, and it was as extensive as his own. Oh my gosh. What could possibly be the source? And he had to open all of his three eyes, and there on a distant peak, what did he see but Parvati sitting immobile as the mountains themselves, covered with dust, merged in the divine. And in that instant, the great renunciant Shiva, lord of all yogis, fell madly in love. And then what happened? The heavens opened, the gods smiled, and they saw that the divine human, the divine union of these two immortal beings could produce a son who would give birth to fight the terrible demon that was devouring the world. And so there we have the story of Parvati and Shiva. And we have achieved a moment that changed the world so that the world could now move back into its connection with the divine. So that's what I was inspired to tell you, that little story today, because that's what's happening right now. Through you, beautiful gods and goddesses, seeing the world through the eyes of the divine, you can give birth with your observation, with your intentions. And you can devour the demon of that which has hurt and destroyed other people, other beings, the sacredness of life today. And as we honor those who gave their lives in 9/11, we move into the victory for the divine to come back onto the planet. So that's where we are today. So we're going to go ahead and chant a call, and then we'll move into our chant with the heavens. So here we go. Aka, aka, aka. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Aka. Just seeing all the demons and all the lower frequencies and any souls that were trapped in the astral for any reason, moving on. Aka. 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 And the chant, beautiful. The chant that Yogi Bhajan is requesting that we do today is Apsahai Hoa, which banishes all enemies and brings prosperity. So if you need anything from your own life to be banished and anything, abundance or prosperity or your intentions to come through and bringing Lucia home, this is the chant.
Thank you.
Consciousness, the ether, the field of compassion, Shiva and Parvati, meditating eternally, merging in the divine, and out of their love, out of that infinite love, springing all kinds of beings that are here to reclaim the sacredness of life and save us from the demons of ignorance. And inhale and exhale and let it go. Beautiful. And what Yogi Bhajan's giving us for this week is alternate nostril breathing to balance the right and left hemispheres of the brain, to balance the divine masculine and feminine, and to bring the breath up at the end of that exercise, focusing light out the third eye, and as you do that, feeling the balance of the divine masculine and feminine, so you can feel the power of being a co-creator, and to feel that what you do, what you co-create in this field alters the whole reality on the planet, to experience your divine power, not power over, but your divine power. And then if you can, to journal, and you can share on the phone call next week, just awareness of how this is, how you're noticing, how you're observing the world through the eyes of the divine, and different how the world shows up around you, and as you think about things, what you're manifesting. Great. Okay, so inhale and exhale, and come back. And if anybody would like to share what they're feeling or any thoughts, or if you like the little story, you can share or give feedback or whatever. You can unmute. So are you? Is anybody still there?
Yep.
Good. Oh, good. I'm glad, because I didn't know it was so quiet after that echo. I was like, good. I hope they're still there.
We are.
Oh, I'm so happy you're still there. Did you like the little story?
I love
yes.
it.
Good, good. You loved it. I loved it too. I loved it. That was good. Thank you. I thought the part was funny about Kama, the Lord of Love, shot Shiva with an arrow, hit him in his third eye.
Had a delayed reaction.
Yeah, he delivered it. Yep.
So, Sharon, should we continue with the Apsahi Hoha for the week?
Oh, yes. Thank you. Atsahaihoa, alternate nostril breathing, balancing the divine masculine and the divine feminine. I'm so glad you asked that, Arit. Thank you. Yes. Okay, good, good. Oh, huge, huge, huge. Thank you. Thank you for your tuning in. Yes, because Yogi Bhajan is saying that it's time to give up the battle of the sexes. That's something we can start, we have been working on, but we can continue to work on. Feeling that we can, there doesn't have to be the battle of the sexes, basically, is what he's saying. He's laughing. That
people, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Well, yeah, you know, this is something we talked about, I think, more than a year ago, about the battle of the masculine and feminine within ourselves, too. You know, the accepting of that, you know, the congruency of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to admit, you know, one on a side note, when you said to bring Lucia home, I thought, oh, my God, they're going to start wearing little ribbons and say, put
posters. Definitely. Definitely. I think we should all wear yellow ribbons and hang them on the tree. I think we should really get into the moon and Leo about this. Don't you, everybody?
Yeah,
that'd
be great.
That'd be totally dramatic. I'm going to put yellow ribbons all over my tree.
And then take pictures of it.
And when everybody will put yellow ribbons on their trees, and when Lucia gets back, we'll go visiting everybody's house, and we'll have, like, little yellow wristbands.
We'll put them on that internet.
There'll be Shaq the Activator's marching in front of the embassy.
Definitely, we'll be right down. We'll all come down there to be hitting pots and pans.
When you go there and you see all that yellow around you, you'll be wondering.
That's right.
But one of the things I was going to comment is not something very tangible, but amidst all of this and all the crises and all the everything, you know, I feel the energy feels more comfortable, more at home than all the energy I've had the last 50 some odd years. It's like, oh yeah, this is the energy I worked with when I was a kid. This feels more natural.
Mm-hmm.
This shift feels more natural.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you saying sometime back too about the soup that's being made between what we call third and fourth and even some of the fifth that is not a third anymore, it's not a really, you know, but we're still in a body. And that stayed with me a lot, that concept.
Good, thank you. Yeah, I'm feeling some sense of relief right now. I'm feeling that what we just did on this call opened up a bigger space in the field for more light, love, whatever you want to call it, divine soup to come through. Is anybody else feeling that?
Yeah.
I thought it was really significant that the 2 points about the second Uranus-Pluto conjunction is feeling that sense of, you know, humbleness, but the second step, the second point is to really accept that what we do from this field does alter the world, you know, so it's not to be overly, you know, into our egos about our abilities to co-create, but it's to be aware and feel that we are impacting the world, we are impacting the collective, and we don't have to, you know, feel isolated and alone and powerless and now do I matter and all those kinds of thoughts, which are just thoughts if they're not the truth.
Well, dear Karen, I kind of felt like the situation with Lucia was more like a group Shakti challenge. Like it was one of the first challenges.
A group Shakti challenge.
Yeah.
I like that. I feel that way too.
Because we're all focusing so much energy on her and knowing that it's a co-creation time, you know, and seeing everything that's going on, that's kind of the push that I've been getting.
Mm-hmm.
To keep that, it's like shining a spotlight on her.
And it's so symbolic too that the challenge is everything to do with things so heavily 3D, like paperwork and visas and bureaucracy. We're talking about the thickest part of the 3D in a country that is so thick with 3D that God is like a perfect storm. So it is a challenge, but I've been called worse than a challenge. I've been called worse.
We're all being challenged, but I like what you said, Tejpreet. It's a group. I do feel it's a group energy, and we're practicing.
Yeah.
So thank you, Lucia, for being the catalyst to help us practice.
I really love to hear your voices every week too.
Yeah, learning experience is what they call it in program. Learning experience.
Exactly. Thank you, Linda. I love hearing everybody's voices, too. It's so wonderful.
Yeah.
It feels like some kind of orchestra or like a melody, like, oh, okay, there's Linda's voice, there's Lucia, there's Arit, there's Tejpreet, there's Michael. You know, I love everybody's voices, too. It's Navdeep when she comes in a little bit and other people, so yeah.
Well, the thing for me, too, when I wrote I don't know if everybody read the email I had carrying forward, but I realize now I used to feel very uncomfortable with the asking for help, but I'm realizing now it's not just asking for help, it's realizing that this is a team effort or it's not at all. I don't know how to explain it, but it has nothing to do with me doing it alone. It's irrational to try to do it alone. It's like, it seems very natural to see it that way right now, and it's something completely new. I know this is an Aquarian age kind of vision because, I mean, I am such a Mars and Aries kind of person, doing myself kind of thing, that this is a whole new paradigm for me. So it's a challenge for you guys, and it's that and more for me. Lucia, I'm glad you said
that. It's natural for you. It's natural for me to extend the hand.
Right.
Yeah.
See, it's been natural for me to give, but I to extend the hand. But it's something a little bit more subtle. Maybe somebody else who's more of a wordsmith can explain it. But the idea that this is woven together and it can't move one thing at a time.
I agree.
Yeah. So you'll all be at the airport when I get there wearing your ribbons.
We will. We're passing them out. Everybody will get ribbons, and anybody that's around, too. Like, sometimes they pass out those bracelets for different things, you know? We'll just be passing them out to everybody that's there, known or unknown, people we don't know. We'll just be offering.
So on another note, the whole thing that I said at the beginning, the intention of not using, I didn't say I wanted more money, but not using the not having money as a powerless issue, you know, not making myself, has to do with that masculine side of money and you know, the everyday 3D that it's like I almost refused it in order to hold on to my feminine intuitive self. Felt like I had to push it. I no longer want to disempower myself by not having masculine and feminine blended. So does that make any more sense?
Yes. I think that's what we're supposed to be working on.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you for being our team leader. Let me put it that way. All I could think of was guinea pig. Sorry.
I absolutely love guinea pigs. That would be a compliment if you told me. It's not a guinea pig.
I think it's a leader, team leader. Oh, God. That's too funny.
Let's call it the project of the day. The project.
Yeah.
But so it's funny how it's working out. And this is maybe important to share. There is a part of me who is very clear that I want to go and that I'm ready to go, but I don't want to become willful. And there's a part of me who is going to the old paradigm of surrendering and letting just what is the highest thing happening. And I find that almost like I'm doing it as kind of like a meekness that is not real, almost like making it happen. and so I'm not saying I'm struggling, but I'm aware of both sides right now. And I just had a very honest conversation with Guru Ram Dass and saying, no, I really want to go. If it's absolutely not possible or I have something else to do, I'll accept, but I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's ambivalent or not, but it's like, you know, I want to be strong in my will, but not willful. Mm-hmm. I want to be willing, but not willful.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I think the universe is creating through all of us. We have to have those eyes to really see as God sees, as the divine sees. And I don't want to become so willful in just my own little story, you know? What if Guru Ram Dass wants me to be here, be a point of light during the next 3 weeks or something, and I can't go, you know? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're all focusing the light. We are the light of Guru Ram Dass. The light of Guru Ram Dass is moving to our Shakti Activation Group at this moment. Okay, beautiful. Thank you, everybody. Any more questions, comments, feedback?
A question.
Yes.
The alternate nostril breathing, remind me the order of that. In one side, out the other, or?
Yeah, you start breathing left and then right, then in left, out right, in right, out left, and then end with breath of fire.
Okay.
So one, then the other. So one, then the other, then in one, out the other, and in. Is this too difficult?
That's valid.
Okay. Okay, yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So alternate nostril breathing, Atsahai Hoa, and be clear about your intentions and when you work with a quantum field and bring things into being. I think that was our main directions, our main homework from the master. Okay, good. Okay, great, everybody. I will look forward to hearing your experiences and talking to you all next week. And if you're in San Diego, come and see us on Wednesday night. Okay, so thank you, everybody. Satnam.
Thank you, everybody.
Mahalo. Satnam.
Okay.
Bye. Bye. Thank you. Bye. Satnam.